Though I have never seen this sign, I am told that if you're on the Niagara River, not the falls, but the river, I've been to the falls, but the river, as you're going down the Niagara River, you're actually confronted quite a bit upstream of those famous falls. There's one sign that reads, "Do you have an anchor?" And you know what the next sign that right after that is, "Do you know how to use it?" Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33 is God's warning sign to us saying, "Hey, do you have wisdom?" And then we should say, "Do you know how to use it?" That is, just as boats with non-functional anchors who are heading towards the falls are worthless, right? So wisdom is worthless if you don't live by it. Like, you can have all the information and all the knowledge and all that data in your head as much as you want, but if we're not living by that, then it does absolutely no good. Remember this, right? That we learned this the very first week in our message in Proverbs, that wisdom is not a principle that you live by, that wisdom is a person. Some of you got it, right? Wisdom is not a principle, wisdom is a... Okay, not bad. I know it's Labor Day weekend, right? Wisdom is not a principle, it's a... There you go, good. So Proverbs 1, 20 through 33, it is a rather ominous passage. It's a sobering passage. So the message is going to reflect the spirit of the passage itself. And so I titled the message from this section here, "That Wisdom Warns." Wisdom in our culture is often seen like an old sage at the top of a mountain. And if you want wisdom, what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to kind of take the winding pathway through the dense, dark forest, sit outside his cottage for a few moments, and if you can gain an audience with the guru, and if you can word your question in such a way that kind of unlocks the wisdom, perhaps he may give you a kind of a cryptic answer. And if you get this cryptic answer, hopefully it'll kind of initiate you into wisdom itself. And so what I want to say is this. That's the opposite of how wisdom is portrayed here in Proverbs 1. You don't have to go to a top mountain with a guru, knock on the door long enough, and hope against hope that somehow you'll get a cryptic response that will give you some type of insight into whatever it is. No, in Proverbs chapter 1, wisdom is the exact opposite. The Bible presents wisdom here in these verses as a female open-air evangelist, unafraid to speak her mind. That she's standing at the intersection of 290 and Barker Cypress at 5:30 in the evening. And she's just ready to speak. She stands atop the tables at the Fairfield Food Court outlet, right? Speaking on a Sunday afternoon for everybody to hear. That she stands there. She's not quiet. She says things like this: "How long, O simple ones, will you love simplicity?" She'll say things like this: "Scoffers, how long are you going to delight in scoffing?" Her voice is loud enough to sit in the parking lot at a Berry Center on a Friday night with those hundreds and thousands of cars for the football game and say things like this: "How long, O fools, will you hate knowledge?" That is, wisdom in Proverbs chapter 1 is not someone sitting high aloft on a mountaintop in a chalet hidden from everybody. No, wisdom is actually in the most visible parts of our culture and our society. But what's interesting about this is how people respond to Lady Wisdom's voice. Look at how they respond. Look at verse 24. Wisdom says this: "I have called and you refuse to listen. I stretched out my hand, no one is heeded." Verse 25, "Because you have ignored all my counsel and you have none of my reproof." Drop down to verse 30. "Again, you would have none of my counsel, you despise my reproof." So the response then is this, is the response to Lady Wisdom's voice is basically it, to ignore it. And so in this passage then, here's what we have. We have four warnings. I said it was an ominous passage. It's a serious passage. It's a sobering passage. Four warnings to people who do not listen to wisdom's voice. And the very first warning is this, that ignorance will not be accepted because wisdom has cried out. You don't get to take a pass. What are the greatest excuses that we offer, right, as human beings is what? Is ignorance. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, you've been pulled over, and you rolled down your window, right? And what did you say? Officer, I didn't know, right? Come on, I'm not the only one. Or how about this? You remember back in high school? Some of you are in high school now. You get this excuse, right? You get done taking the test, and you're like, teacher, you didn't tell me, right? Ignorance. What Proverbs 1 is saying is this. For those who ignore wisdom's voice, you don't get to ignore it. You can't say, I didn't know, or you didn't tell me. And the reason for that is this, because wisdom cries out at the busiest intersections of life saying, listen to my voice, listen to my words. That is, it is unacceptable to plead ignorant of God's wisdom and thus somehow we're innocent. In Proverbs, what you have is you have four different types of people. You've got the wise who are listening to wisdom's voice. You've got the simple who hear it and they're kind of like, they shrug their shoulders like, eh. So you got the wise, you have the simple, you have the fool, which hears wisdom's voice and rejects it. And then you actually have one category more beyond that, and that is the scorner. And the scorner is like the fool, that is, they hear the voice, but the scorner then mocks the reality of God's word. And all throughout Proverbs, we're going to continue to hear these four different categories or four different groups are going to be spoken to. And so to the simple, even to the fool, and to the scorner, wisdom promises something that can change them. So if you are here this morning and you say to yourself, I'm not the wise, I'm in the simple category or perhaps one of these other categories, there's something that's held out to each and every one of us. And it's found in verse 23. Look at verse 23 of Proverbs 1, where it reads this way. If you turn at my reproof, who's the you? Well, back up in verse 22, right? The simple, the scoffer, and the fool. Verse 23. If you, one of you, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Remember this, wisdom is not a principle, it's a person. So this is not that wisdom is just kind of a metaphor and it's going to give you her spirit, right? That if all of the Bible is Christian literature, if it's all Christian, and it's not just, we're not going to dichotomize it between Jewish and Christian, that if it's all Christian scripture, then what we want to understand is this. Is that this promise that wisdom gives will grant those who respond to wisdom's voice its spirit. Whose spirit? Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, what is the Holy Spirit called? He's called the Holy Spirit of wisdom. What Proverbs 1:23 is promising us is this, is that if we respond to wisdom's reproof, we are granted the spirit of wisdom. The Spirit is what grants to us greater understanding to the words of wisdom. So the first warning is this. Hey, ignorance is not a plea. You don't get to call that out, right? Why? Because wisdom cried out. Here's the second warning. That is, sympathy will not be demonstrated because wisdom was ignored. Look at verse 24. Verse 24 reads this way, because I have called and you refuse to listen, I've stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, that's when I'm going to mock and laugh. The word calamity found there in verse 27, it refers to things that will wreck your life. Wisdom is saying this, that if you reject reproof in your life, when the very things that wisdom was intended to protect you from, wisdom will mock, wisdom will laugh. The word terror that you see there in verse 27, when terror strikes you like a storm. So calamity are the things that will ruin or wreck your life. Terror refers to the things that we fear the most. That is, ignoring God's wisdom, it's going to look different from person to person. It doesn't look the same. Ignoring God's wisdom doesn't look the same. It's not everybody who's an atheist who's rejecting God's wisdom. It could be outright rejection of God's ways and God's wisdom and God's words. Or it could be to kind of reason through that I'm okay to do this for a variety of reasons, even though the scriptures are clear the opposite way. Or it could be just to simply be unimpressed or bored with wisdom's voice. There's a warning here for us that sympathy will not be demonstrated when wisdom's voice was ignored. That God, do you feel uncomfortable with this language? Because God laughs at calamity. He mocks when terror strikes. What about the God of grace? What about the God of mercy? The beautiful thing, the reason why the God of grace and God of mercy is so beautiful to us, because there are passages like us that are warning passages to us. And that if we will heed those, we receive the God of grace and the God of mercy. But if we ignore God's words, this is what awaits for us. And could it be, this is conjecture, could it be that just as our Savior was mocked while hanging on the cross, so that those who ignored God or ignored wisdom's voice will hear her haunting chant ringing in their ears for all eternity? Could it be? Perhaps you sit here and you have heard God's good gospel, good news. And you reject that you will hear these words ringing in your ears as part of God's punishment. I don't know. I will say this. This is not the first time that we've heard language like this in the Bible. You're in Proverbs 1. Turn back to Psalm chapter 2. So you're in Proverbs 1. Turn back to Psalm 2 on your phone or your device or in your Bible there in front of you. And I'm going to read Psalm 2 to you, and I want you to see where this language about God laughing or mocking comes through. Psalm chapter 2, right? What do you have in Psalm 1, right? You have the blessed person who hears God's word, and then in Psalm 2, you have the person who's opposed to God. Look at Psalm 2. It says, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain?" What are they raging against? What are they plotting against? Well, verse 2, "The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed." Who is God's anointed? It's Jesus, right? Jesus is the Mashiach. He's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. So these nations rage and peoples plot. The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying this, "Let us burst their bonds apart. Let us cast away their cords from us. We ain't having no God rule over us." He, to people who live like this, verse 4, "He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. He will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, 'As for me, God is saying this to him. I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. And the Lord, and the Messiah speaking, the Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That is this, that the true king of Zion, Jesus Christ, he will not be bound by anybody else's chains. He will be the one binding. Right? And then verse 10 reads this way. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. What would it look like if kings of the earth were wise? Or what would it look like if we were wise? Continue on. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Here it is. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Some translations say, do homage, give obeisance. We would say, worship. Worship the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. So how is wisdom shown in Psalm 2? Wisdom is shown as serving the Lord. Wisdom is demonstrated by rejoicing in the Anointed One, in the Messiah, in Jesus. Do you rejoice in Jesus? Is there something in your heart that reached out, whether it was in the Lord's table or the singing of the songs? If that is happening in your life and in your heart and in your mind, you are, to use Psalm 2 language, kissing the Son, giving obeisance to the Son, worshiping the Son. That is, wisdom is seen as serving the Lord, rejoicing in the Messiah, and worshiping the Son. The third warning then to those who reject wisdom is this. It's the warning. Appeals will not be answered. Why? Because wisdom was abandoned. Appeals will not be answered because wisdom was abandoned. And these are difficult words to read. I'm back to Proverbs chapter 1 now. And I want to show you these four verses. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28. Verse 28 reads this way. Then they will call upon me, the ones who are in terror and in calamity. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. God, how fair is it of you to refuse to listen to someone who calls? Someone who's seeking after you, God, if this is your response to them? And then God gives us the reason why he will reject that. Because why? Verse 29, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, here's what they can expect. They shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. That is, their calling and seeking after God is not based upon a newfound fear of God. Gather that. We would say this kind of a foxhole conversion. You've heard that phrase before. In the midst of the battle, the bullets are whizzing, and someone says, oh God, save me, and I'll serve you. Or, oh God, save me, and I'll go to church. And then the battle is over, and what happens? They don't serve him. That what this is that they're calling and seeking after God, not based upon a newfound fear of God, but because of a distaste for their present circumstances. Brothers and sisters, that is the true definition of genuine repentance. Not just that I don't like my circumstances, but true repentance says I actually delight in the God that I ran away from. And did you see this in verse 29? Look at verse 29. It says they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. The word choose there means a carefully reasoned decision to reject God's wisdom. Right? Even the simple can't say, no, I didn't hear it, right? There's no ignorance allowed. And the people who did not choose the fear of the Lord, it wasn't because there was like, well, you know, I just never really gave thought to it. No. It is a carefully reasoned decision. Solomon is using these words to let us know that it's on purpose. Friend, today, right now, God is walking, or let me put it this way, God's wisdom is walking among us and crying out. Like right now. Can you hear God's voice to you? God, and the reason why I say that is this, because do you know who God's wisdom is? God's wisdom is Jesus. This is why Paul will write in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, folly to Gentiles, but to those who are being called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and Christ, what? The wisdom of God. And because of Him, that is because of God's voice calling out to Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That is, God's wisdom is walking amongst us, calling out to Him. It is part of God's mercy in our lives that we're even under the sound of Bible preaching, Bible teaching. This is a mercy from God. This is not something, you may have done this to satisfy a mom or satisfy a dad or satisfy a grandma to kind of fulfill a promise you made. And on the surface, that may be what it is, but I want to say to you this, that it actually is a sign of God's good mercy that you could hear the voice of the wise one, Jesus. That is, to reject Christ is to reject wisdom. To live by Christ is to live by wisdom. To honor Christ is to honor wisdom. To worship Christ is wisdom. Brothers and sisters, true wisdom is not a master's degree. It's not five syllable words that no one can quite pronounce but you. It's not watching kind of Nat Geo documentary so you can kind of spout your wisdom to anyone who will listen. That's not true wisdom. Listen to this. True wisdom is not choosing from a buffet of religious teachings. A little bit of Hinduism and a little bit of Buddhism and kind of a little bit of Christianity, because Jesus has some good things to say, you know. And a little bit of the wisdom of this world would say, take a little bit from everything in order to be wise. But true wisdom humbly accepts Jesus and His teachings. Are you okay with Jesus saying things like this? Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Are you okay with that? For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. That's Jesus's wisdom. That's not Buddha's wisdom. That's not Muhammad's wisdom. That's Jesus's wisdom. And I would encourage us this way, that the wideness of God's mercy, the wideness of God's grace is bounded by the teachings of Jesus. The wideness of God's mercy is bounded on either side by the narrowness of Jesus' teachings. So let's celebrate God's mercy and God's grace but let Jesus' words be the boundaries on either side of them. This is true wisdom. That is, eternal life. If you're not a Christian, let me state explicitly what the Bible's teaching is. Eternal life is only found in Jesus. You will not find eternal life in Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, or Joseph Smith. Friend, fools despise that type of wisdom. Solomon said it this way, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And if you're hearing my voice and you are instinctively kind of rising up against it, that seems so narrow. I actually would agree with you, but the problem is this, is that either Jesus is the Son of God who means what he says and we ought to follow him, or he's a crazed lunatic and you ought never listen to a Christian preacher again. Those really are your options. And my encouragement to you would just be to open up the Bible, say, what does Jesus say? And you determine exactly what Jesus' teachings are. In fact, Paul will put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, right? Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. Here's the final warning found in verse 32. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32, here's the final warning. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. You see, I would have thought the other way around. I would have thought it this way, that the simple are killed because of their complacency, right? And that the turning away of fools destroys them. But Solomon says, no, I just want you to know this, that simple are killed because even the simple person turns away from God's, from wisdom's voice. So here's then the final warning. The consequences will not be neglected. Consequences will not be neglected. Consequences will come. Why? Because wisdom was rejected. The simple are destroyed for ignoring Jesus' words. And the fool is complacent because of his or her self-confidence. The simple are destroyed by ignoring Jesus' words. Friends, this is why you want to be in a church that teaches the Bible and says, look at this verse. Do you understand the context of what it said before and what it said after? This is why you want to be in a Sunday school class where we're understanding how the passage is working together. Because we want to know, what did Jesus say? Why did he say it? How did he say it? And what does it mean to my life? This is true wisdom. And are you aware of this? That Satan and his demons are content to let you carry a Bible, have KSBJ as a preset, and sing a worship song right into hell, so long as you reject the wisdom of the cross. Do not be lulled into eternal destruction. We understand that hell is not just a place full of atheists and the profane. Hell is full of religious people like us. Does that send a shiver up your spine? That hell is full of religious people like us. So lest you heard my voice that somehow I thought that somehow we were arrogant to insist that Jesus is the only way, please also hear the sobriety of what I'm saying, is that religious people go to hell too. They go to hell with a Bible under their arm, singing worship songs because they have rejected the wisdom of the cross. So what is the wisdom of the cross? The wisdom of the cross is the bloody substitution of God's Son on our behalf. This is why Paul says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning. I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we, not us, brothers, not us, sisters, we proclaim Christ crucified. This is the wisdom that we hold on to. It is our anchor as we're facing Niagara Falls, fearful that those falls will take us over. Because by God's kind grace, not only do we have an anchor, but because by His Spirit, He allows us to use the anchor. That Jesus is the anchor that rescues us from these warnings. And after these four warnings, there is a little bit of light. And it's almost like all the lights are off in the house, but Solomon says, before you go on to the next room of chapter 2, I want to give you a little bit of light. And so he opens up the shades just a little bit. Or, like this past week, it's 105 degrees out and you are sweltering in your car and you finally, head back into the house. And remember when you first open that door and that breeze hits you from your apartment, you're like, whew, it feels good. That's what this is, verse 33. Here's a cool breeze of hope from God. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure. Whoever listens to me will be at ease without dread of disaster. And that dread of disaster has nothing to do about this life. It has everything to do about the next life. Friends, do you have an anchor? And do you know how to use it? Because wisdom is a person, not a principle. So we could say it this way. Ignorance will not be accepted. Why? Because Jesus cried out. Sympathy will not be demonstrated because Jesus was ignored. Appeals or pleas will not be answered. Why? Because Jesus was abandoned. And consequences will not be neglected because Jesus was rejected. It really is true. Narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. And so I want to urge you this way. I want to urge you to call on Jesus as your one and true, the one only true anchor that you have. I want to urge you this way. Now, I'll tell you a fictitious story. The story goes something like this, that the devil and his demons were devising one day how to confound or trick the world to reject the gospel. One of them said, let's go and say there's no God, proposed one. All the other demons were quiet. Ridiculous idea. Because every devil knew that most people would believe in a supreme being of some kind. One said, well, let's tell them that there's no hell. There's no future punishment for the wicked. And again, that was turned down because men, women obviously have consciences which tell them that somehow there's retribution for wrongdoing. The meeting was going to end in failure when there came a voice from the rear, kind of hissed through the smoke. Said, you know what, let's tell them that there is a God. Let's even tell them that there is a hell and that the Bible is God's word. let's also tell them this, that there's plenty of time to decide the question. Let them neglect the gospel until it is too late. And all hell erupted with a ghoulish glee, if you will. For they knew that if a person procrastinated on Christ, it would be likely that they would never accept him. Friend, when we're walking through Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33, you may have received a little bit of light there at the very end where it says, whoever listens to me will dwell secure, and whoever will be at and whoever listens will be at ease without dread of disaster. I've been like, I don't have to worry about those other four warnings now. Those warnings stand fast unless you listen to Christ's voice. And Christ's voice to his people who are true, who have been born again, and Christ's voice to those who have yet to know Christ, to follow Christ, to be born again, is this, is to repent. To repent, to, I know that was the Bible Christian words there, to turn from sin and to trust in the voice who speaks from his word. This is what Christian people for centuries have not only known, but we have followed. And it's no different for those of us who live in 2023 as it was for those who lived in 1533. That wisdom warns, 20 through 32. Wisdom invites, right? Loud places, 290 in Barker, Cyprus. But also wisdom receives the warnings. We're going to pray in just a moment. But I want to offer an invitation to you. The invitation will be for you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how you came this morning. Maybe someone that you came with knows what it means to follow Jesus, and maybe you need to ask them on your way home. No, not on the way home. You need to ask them now. You need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ right now. You may have been baptized. You may have been dunked underwater. You may have been sprinkled as an infant. You may be a religious, moral person, a good person, but you are walking in your own wisdom. And you today have come to the understanding, I need to reject the wisdom of this world, and I need to receive the wisdom that comes from Christ alone. Not because I'm fearful of the punishment, but because I genuinely adore and love the Son of God, Jesus Christ.